first-generation immigrants serving their communities as elected officials. According to the U.S. Census, Maine is one of the whitest states in the nation, and that reality has been reflected in the makeup of local government across Maine. But in some places, that's changing. A growing number of first-generation immigrants are running for offices in their communities, including city council and school board, and winning. Their priorities range from creating affordable housing and better jobs to racial justice and inclusiveness. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll meet some of these men and women serving their communities as city councilors, from Brewer to South Portland. We'll hear their stories and find out why they've run and what their ambitions are for themselves and for Maine. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The makeup of Maine's population has shifted over the years as new Mainers have moved here from places all over the world. Now, that has started to be reflected more in our local governments, as more immigrants have begun to hold elected office. Today, we will talk with some of them about their background and what they hope to accomplish in their positions. Joining me, Deka Dalak. She was elected to the South Portland City Council in 2018, and she works for the Maine Department of Education as the Family Engagement and Cultural Responsiveness Specialist and is originally from Somalia. And Tay Chong was elected to the Portland City Council in 2019. He works for Catholic Charities as Director of Social Enterprise and Workforce Development. He is originally from South Korea. And as always, we want to hear from you. Are you a new Mainer? Do you think immigrants have a growing voice in Maine? And what questions do you have about serving local government? You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to both of you. So excited to have you both on the program today. Deka, I want to start with you, and I want you to say your last name because I know I probably didn't say it correctly.
Well, thank you for having me, Jennifer. My last name is Dalak, so it's Deka Dalak. Dalak, yes.
Okay, wonderful. And I want to hear your story. How is it that you came to Maine, and how did you decide to run for office?
So, thank you. So I came to Maine from Atlanta, Georgia. We used to live in Atlanta, Georgia. So my uncle moved here back in 2004, and I always wanted to do my, you know, schooling and go back to school. But in Atlanta, it's a big city, and then I had three small children, so it was difficult for me to go to work and go to school and take care of three small children at the same time. So my uncle moved here in Maine back in 2004, and he said, Deka, if you want to go to work, go to school, and have the children go to good schools and also in a safe place, come to Maine. So I moved here back in 2005. And living in Atlanta, I always encourage immigrants who were coming to Atlanta at the time to register to vote and, you know, explaining for them the importance of them to become a U.S. citizen and then, you know, register to vote and get involved in their local government. So when I came here in Maine, I saw there was a lack of a lot of our immigrant community, especially for the Somali community, not registering to vote. As you know, many of us are coming to the country legally and have the opportunity to become a U.S. citizen and then can register to vote. So I did that throughout living in Lewiston, and then I moved to South Portland, Maine in 2008 when I got a job at the City of Portland. And I love the city, beautiful place to live, amazing humans who live here. And in 2016, when the Trump came to as a candidate in Maine, Portland, Maine, and he stated that all Somalis are in a Trojan horse and immigrants will just mess up with all our lives, it really get to me. And I said, what can I do differently in order for me to make sure immigrants are not like that. Immigrants are people who are hard workers, who want to get involved in their communities, who want to work, and who want to also give back to the communities who are welcoming us to their state and city and counties. So, but it took me a while because as a Muslim, as a black woman, as an immigrant, there are so many layers of barriers that I had. And throughout the years that I lived here, I had a lot of my main friends who been really supportive, and I did build a good relationship throughout the years. And I had a lot of people saying that, you know, you can do this. You can be who you want to be. If you have a dream, you can achieve it right here in the United States, because this is the home of the dreams and where dreams come true for all people who come from all over the world. And as we all know, you know, United States is a melting pot, and we are all coming from different places. So long story short, I took the Emerge Maine training 2018. At the time, I did not have a chance to run for an office, but I did start helping my other Emerge sisters for knocking doors with them, you know, talking for their constituents that they were running for office. But in 2018, my city councilor in my district stepped down from his post after he served only 1 year out of the 3 years for the city council. And at that time, my phone just blown away and my social media just got crazy. And everybody was saying, this is your time. This is the time that you have to do. So I was really, really appreciative of the relationships that I built it throughout the 10 years that I've been here. And, you know, people just came and helped. And it was a love kind of a community-driven campaign that we had. And it was a special election. So and now I am running again. I'm on the ballot this November. And hopefully when I get to work back again, I will serve even more for South Portland constituents, not only for my district, but the whole city of South Portland.
Deka, so your first time running for office, you won. Not many politicians can say that.
Yes, and again, I thank for the group of people who have been helping me get to where I am. And I always talk to folks and I say that one person cannot do whole lot of things. You have to have a community who are behind you and working with you and making sure that you are going to go where you want to be as a leader, as a human being, as a person. And I believe as a human being, I believe that co-governing, if you will, if someone from my community or in my city says this is an issue that is important to me, I will take a look at that issue that constituent brought to me, and if it is in line with the values that I have, I will put that out as a workshop in front of the city council, and we can all gain from that community member or this, the constituents that we have in the city, and also give the credit to that person and say this came from the community, this came from this constituents, and you all can do that as well, because we are here to work for you. These seats are belong to you. So I try to explain to our constituents that as much as I can.
So, Deck, I want to turn to Tay in just a second, but I want to ask you and get this clear. When you moved from Somalia, you came first to Atlanta, then to Maine. How old were you when you came from Somalia? And what kind of situation were you leaving? Did you leave in the middle of the war? Did you flee? Had you been in a refugee camp?
Good question. So I left Somalia right before the civil war broke. So I did not come straight to Atlanta. I did travel throughout a lot of countries, similar to many, many immigrant community members that you see here in the state of Maine. I traveled throughout Europe. I went to Italy first, then I went to England, London. I lived in Canada, and then I get married to my husband, who lived in Atlanta, Georgia. So that is how I ended up being in Atlanta, Georgia. And when I left Somalia, I was 19 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Tay, your turn. You came to Portland, Maine as a boy, correct?
Correct. I was 7, yes. And I immigrated on Halloween.
Oh my goodness! And you were seven when you arrived in Portland. You know, people can't see you all, so they don't have a sense of how old you are. But Tay, when you came to Maine, there was not this immigrant community that there is today, was there?
Oh, there was no diversity. I joke around, but it's not far from the truth that there were only four Asians or people of color in the Portland school system. There was me, my two brothers, and a Vietnamese kid that I knew in the neighborhood. Everywhere we went, literally, this is not a hyperbole. There was so little diversity back then. People used to follow me around because they hadn't seen an Asian before. Cars would sometimes stop and just gawk at us. And this was right after the Vietnam War. So there was a lot of, you know, hostility and anger, even though we were Korean. There was a lot of just staring and taunting and name calling back then. And fast forward today, now Portland is the Portland school system. 50% of the population is multicultural, as is Lewiston. And Lewiston and South Portland and Westbrook are close to 25%. So that's a dramatic change from being the only kid of color in almost every situation that I was in, all the way up to probably college. So.
Mm. And Tay, I want to ask you a lot more about your story and how you ended up running for office, but we have Claude Raranjay with us right now. And Claude, I understand you don't have a lot of time, so I want to turn to you. Westbrook City Councilor. Claude, how did you decide? Tell us briefly your story. I know you've been on Maine Calling before. How you came to Maine, where you came from, and how you decided to run for office.
Thank you very much. And by the way, I can wait a few minutes if you want to continue to finish with my guru, Tay Chiang. So it is a way, but I still have 10 minutes. So if you want to finish, but otherwise, if you want me to go ahead, I can.
Okay, well, we'll do that. I'll continue with Tay then. Thank you, Claude. Sure. Tay, you grew up in Portland, and I understand at some point you thought about leaving. What made you stay?
Well, in my 20s, I started to see a lot of refugees come to Portland. And I wanted them to not go through what I went through. So I worked as a study center tutor for Portland Housing Authority. I started volunteering for NAACP. And I work with NAACP to sue the Portland school system for ESL access and change how ESL was delivered. Because back then, kids couldn't test out of ESL, which meant that they couldn't go on to college. And I also started scholarship programs for a lot of student organizations. I helped raise $10,000 for Asian American students to have scholarships at USM. And I wanted to protect immigrant refugee students from the pain that I experienced. And I wanted to make immigrant refugee communities feel more welcomed and build the infrastructure so they can, you know, get jobs and start businesses. So that's why I stayed. And I'm glad I did, because Portland is my home, and now it's one of the best places to live, literally. And now almost every magazine in the world kind of names this as one of the best places to live, as is South Portland and Westbrook, too. So,
Tay, were you like DECA in that people in the community were encouraging you to run for office, or were you kind of doing this on your own?
I ran for Portland School Committee in 2002, and I was elected. And like DECA and everyone on this call, from Claude to Pius Ali, we're all doers. We're all community minded people, and we're all volunteers. I was senior class president during high school. I was always involved in something. Absolutely, people encouraged me to run. I had lots of mentors. Winston McGill is one of my mentors. Moses Sabunya, Ethan Strimley encouraged me to run. Jill Dusen. I had lots of mentors who kind of got me ready to run. And they actually wanted me to run for office. But I wanted to set aside time for my kids. And I also wanted to do the due diligence and really understand policy so that when I did run, I wanted to hit the ground running and make a huge impact, or at least an impact on my community. So I thought I did well on the school committee, and then fast forward 15 years later, I ran for city council.
Well, congratulations to you. Claude, you're originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Many people know you for the work that you've done to help immigrants set up their own businesses and help them understand the complexities of having a business in Maine. And I know that recently you've been really helping people through the COVID-19 pandemic. What made you want to take the work that you've done and actually become a government official, serve on the Westbrook City Council?
Thank you, Jennifer, for all the credit you gave me, and I'm so grateful. Like Tay said, we all immigrant leaders, and we are really looking to make an impact in the community. But specifically what made me to run for office, like Tay said, I was also asked, I remember the former mayor of Westbrook, Collins, she really came to me and said, we were serving on the board together for another nonprofit, and she came directly to me and said, why can't you run for office? We need people like you, people-minded, especially people of color and immigrants in the city of Westbrook. But beyond that, I served on a few different committees. I served on the council of the New England, the Council of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. I served on the Chamber of Commerce, the Regional Chamber of Commerce in Poland. I serve on the board of United Way. But really, the city where my wife and the children have chose to make our home, where we purchased our first home in U.S., I wasn't really doing much to it. So I said to myself, how can I give back to the community and the city specifically that I call myself home? And in addition to other people asking me to run, that was the motivation. And then at the background of my organization, like somebody who teaches financial literacy, financial education, economic empowerment at Prosperity Maine, I really started thinking about how can we help the city to make a living more affordable, especially when I was looking at what sister city in Poland really getting expensive for our community to afford. I turn into Westbrook. Maybe that is going to be the next move for many immigrants that we serve. So I said we need to help them with economic empowerment. We need to help the city understand, educate them on new Americans who are coming to live in the city, and also make housing affordable to the communities. So those were some of the factors that really pushed me to go into the government.
You know, and that's one thing I really want to ask all three of you, what some of your priorities are. But Claude, since we just have you for a few minutes, it sounds like affordable housing and obviously good, meaningful work are your priorities. How do you think, or maybe I should ask it even more open-endedly, do you think your presence on the council has made the council think differently about mm-hmm. these issues? Or do you feel like you're really on the same page as the other councilors?
That's a very good question, Jennifer, because, again, people on a council, I found people who are on a council probably 15, 10 years, who have a mindset of people in a community where they serve, and they don't understand probably the culture and language and the needs of the new community that is moving into the city. So that is where I come with my education piece, my information sharing. What are the challenges these people face? A language barrier. They come with employment barriers. They come with culture issues. So when you talk about affordable housing, you talk about in general for the city, but you have to go specifically about these new immigrants. They have children in our schools, but they have more kids actually than other community members. So someone with 3, 4, 5 children probably doesn't have the means to afford a house, but we still need them for the public schools. We still need those parents. Mm-hmm. But again, we have to be able to support them to provide their needs so they can be able to live and work in the city. So it's a little bit different mindset. So yes, I'm not trying to say that as a newbie, I come with a skill set more than anybody on the council. That's not what I'm saying, but I can come with a better understanding on the needs of another group that probably my colleague on the council didn't have, so we can complement one another.
Claude, thank you so much for calling in. That's Claude Raganje with the Westbrook City Council. His organization is Prosperity Maine. I want to continue this conversation with Deka and Tay in just a minute, but we do have to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Modern Pest Services, now featuring the Anti-CMEX Smart Pest Control System for your home. Learn more at modernpest.com. Maine Community Foundation, your partner for charitable giving in Maine. Learn about opening a donor-advised fund at mainecf.org. And Bangor Savings Bank, celebrating all the ways people all over Maine are making life a little better. Bangor.com/spreadkindness.
America, are we ready for this election? This is Brian Lehrer from WNYC. Join me, my guests, and listeners from around the country for a live conversation about the pandemic and the election. How will COVID-19 affect what policies we support and how we cast our vote? The election is coming soon. America, are we ready?
And that's coming up tonight at 8 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. And tonight at 9 on Maine Public Television, we'll air Frontline, The Choice 2020, Trump versus Biden. Frontline investigates the lives and characters of Joe Biden and Donald Trump as they compete to be president. Those who know them best reveal key moments that made both men and shape how they would lead America through a time of crisis. That's Frontline on Maine Public Television tonight at 9 o'clock.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking with some of the people holding elected office in Maine who came here from other countries. Tay Chong serves on the Portland City Council and works for Catholic Charities. He came here from South Korea as a child. Deka Dalak is on the South Portland City Council and works for the Department of Education. She is from Somalia and has been in Maine since 2005. We invite you to be part of the conversation. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now, Pius Ali. He is the first African Muslim. He was the first African Muslim to hold elected office in Maine, but now not the only. First with the Portland School Board and then on City Council. He works as a policy analyst at USM's Cutler Institute and is originally from Ghana. Thanks so much for calling in, Ghana. You made news when you were elected to the Portland School Board in 2013. Was that difficult for you? And how do you feel about the path that you've paved for others?
Well, talking about the path that I paved for others, anytime I have an opportunity to share my story, I also pay homage to those who paved the path for me. So I'm paying that homage to African-Americans who have to sacrifice their blood, their lives, and give up whatever they want. For people like me who are immigrants from different parts of the world, especially Africa, to be here, and many other people who fought for me to be here. So I'm paying that homage first. On the night of election in 2013, I think I was dumbfounded. When someone asked me, how do you feel? And I said that I asked myself, how did I got here? I got into politics by chance. A friend of mine called me and said that, there are two seats open at the Portland Public School Board. I think you should run for one. And I used to work with this individual at City of Portland Refugee Services. And I said to her that I'm not interested in politics. And she insisted, and she said, everything that you've done, whether it's advocating for young people or organizing rallies and protests in the city, or your engagement in the community, is politics. And I pushed back and said, I am not interested in organized politics. So when I found myself being elected, taking one seat out of two seats amongst six people, I asked myself, how did I, someone who is not interested in politics, ended up here?
What are you most proud of having done so far on the Portland City Council?
Oh, my goodness. I think the work of the council, in my opinion, is a collective work. We work together and bring issues that I care. But there's one thing that I always look back at, which is that even though I'm an immigrant, I understand the effect of colonization because I am from Africa, right? Mm-hmm. And before I say what I'm going to say, I'm going to share something that one of my favorite comedians always say, and I always have that at heart. Hasan Minhaj have this thing that he said, when you become an American citizen, you don't just get to own the country's excellence, you have to own its failures. That is the deal. And when I got elected, one of the first things that I did that I think in office as a city councilor is bringing forward an ordinance change to call to change Columbus Day to Indigenous People's Day. For me, it is very important because I understand the impact of colonization from back home. And I know what it means for the people who owns this land that we all work on. And that is one way I should show homage or respect or grateful to them as well. And then the next one is to look back as a city councilor or from 2013 and see the many other immigrants who are elected into office. Yes, I didn't work directly with all of them. I may have inspired some of them, but I also show others that it is possible for you to participate in the political discourse of this country. This is home, and you have to make it as best, the best place that you can be. So I'm proud of
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in and joining this conversation today. Pius Ali is on the Portland City Council. Deka, I want to ask you the question that I asked Claude before the break, which is what is the perspective that you bring that is different than your other counselors? Is it a very specific perspective about other immigrants, or is it a broader perspective that has to do with issues that everybody cares about, such as housing and jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I can say I am really privileged to be in a space with city councilors who have the same values and same, understanding of the whole city citizens. But I can also say representation is matter. Although these folks are really driven to take care of, the issues that are impacting the community as a holistic, but also they might not understand things that are really specific to certain groups of people, such as the immigrants, such as LGBTQ communities, such as, folks with disabilities. So when I came on board, I really looked into the group that are sitting across me and with me and seeing how important they are to our community. And I think my brother Claude did mention that some folks have been there for, two terms, three terms, and get used to that normalcy of, governing. So one of the things that I did right away was to put out a resolution for citizens for citizenship to provide information for those of our immigrant communities that are city of Portland to access information how to become U.S. citizens, and on that, how to register to vote. And that advertisement is all over the city, and we are part of the National Citizens for Citizenship. And the city councilors were really supportive of that. All of them were like, this is really something important that we need to bring into the city council as a whole. So the reason that I'm saying this, and I think also Tay mentioned the number of communities that are coming to Portland, South Portland, Westbrook, immigrant communities, that is, the number is getting higher and higher. We speak 60-some languages in Portland. Pius and Tay can correct me if I'm wrong, and we have almost 24%. In South Portland here. So representation is matter, and what our city councilors might not see,
that I will see that, and I will bring that to the table and say this is something that we need to really bring it. And when you said affordable housing is some of the goals the council has is to address climate change. And we have with the city of Portland, with the One Climate Future together, develop complete streets, you know, to fix all the streets in the city of South Portland, improve the transit, you know, the buses and all of the transportation that we have. Again, improving public housing. Let's mm-hmm. not put on affordable housing in one side of the town, such as in my district, which I live in District 5. But let's just spread that around all the way to District 1, District 2, District 3. How can we just spread that all over the city and also increase diversity in our workforce, in our businesses, the small businesses that are coming to the city of South Portland. Let's just increase that. So representation matters.
All right. Tay, what about you? What perspective do you think you bring to the rest of the Portland City Council?
Well, I've been devoted to social justice and racial equity for about 25 years. And unfortunately, the Portland City Council is very diverse. We are a city that is 15% racial minority, but five people on the council are racial minority. And the perspective I bring is just the social justice and racial equity work. So, for example, last night we voted on the budget, and one of the things that we talked about was giving people on the Racial Equity Commission a stipend. And some people who are not familiar with having people talk about racial trauma, that is a different form of volunteering work versus someone who's going to look at, say, an ordinance or whatever. So that kind of perspective of understanding, you know, when someone has to talk about something that personal and emotional, that stipend is worth is worthy of compensating. And that only comes from someone who's lived that experience, because I've been on a bunch of panel discussions where, you know, people say, tell us your worst racial incident, whatever. And that kind of raw emotional outpouring shouldn't just be something that you just do on display. It should be done in a careful setting with good facilitation. So that kind of lens is different. But at the same time, I'm still part of the community. And my job is to understand that I got to figure out how to help everyone in our community, whether they're people of color or elderly or disabled. I got to figure out how we can come up with a budget that is workable, particularly in this economy. Portland has seen unemployment close to 10% when I looked at the Bureau of Labor Statistics last night. And Portland had one of the lowest unemployment rates prior to COVID. It had one of the lowest in the entire state. Now we have a higher unemployment rate than the rest of the state. So I'm mindful of delivering something that helps everyone. And so that means, you know, coming up with budgets, policies that is workable for everyone. But at the same time, I still have that lens, racial equity and social justice lens.
Mm-hmm. Joining us now is Sophia Khalid, who is a city councilor in Lewiston and works for Gateway Community Services of Maine as a community coordinator. Thanks so much for calling in, Sophia.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Tell us a little bit about your background, how you came to Maine, and how you decided to run for office.
Yes. My family and I came, we're second migrants. We came from New Jersey. I was born in Somalia and came to New Jersey at the age of 7. And then early 2005, we settled in Lewiston. There's a long story of how we came from New Jersey, Elizabeth, New Jersey, to Lewiston that can be talked about another day. But we definitely found the opportunity and the sense of safety we were looking for. When my mother came to Lewiston, she was looking for a community that had her background, her life experiences, that spoke the same language, that can support her, but also public school system that her kids can go to. She was looking for a life that she never imagined for herself. And that's exactly what she found in Lewiston. And almost 2 decades later, we're still living here. Yeah, and I am the first to go to school, get any sort of education in my entire family. So I'm the first of everything, and I'm glad that it's been a journey.
You got a lot of attention when you were elected due to your age and your background. Was that difficult, or did it help your cause? Was it positive?
It helps and it doesn't, to be honest. It draws my age and my background, including, draws a lot of attention. And sometimes, if not most, it can be negative, or at least my first term was pretty negative. But I want to make it very clear that the people that voted for me, the people of the city of Lewiston, and even the state of Maine, helped me a lot. And most of the negative comments and the harsh words and the terrible messages didn't come from those who mattered the most. And that's what kept me to knock doors to win the election on November.
Sophia, what do you hope to accomplish as a Lewiston City Councilor?
I hope to build, it's the same message the first day I started knocking doors, you know. I hope to build a vibrant community that all residents can thrive in, including, you know, areas such as affordable housing, better transportation, better paying jobs. I want to create a place that more and more young people continue to live and make home here. I feel like a lot of people work in Lewiston, but they can't, maybe because of housing or maybe because of life, just the style in the city. They go back to Portland, or they have homes in other areas in the state. So I want to work at creating better opportunities here in the city.
Well, Sophia, thank you so much for calling in. Sophia Khalid, a Lewiston City Councilor. On that note, we are going to take another quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling. With help from Bristol Seafood's Fair Trade North Atlantic Wild Scallops, harvested from the Gulf of Maine and found in the freezer at your local Hannaford. Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, inviting you to escape to blissful blooms and relaxing landscapes. Learn more at mainegardens.org. And Maine Coast Waldorf School, connected in community now more than ever. Accepting applications for fall 2020. MaineCoastWaldorf.org.
Interstate 95 is officially completed on September 22, 2018, creating a contiguous road from Maine to Florida. I-95 is one of the oldest routes of the interstate highway system. Many sections of I-95 incorporated pre-existing sections of toll roads where they served the same right-of-way. With a length of 1,908 miles, I-95 is the longest north-south interstate and the sixth longest interstate highway overall. I-95 passes through more states than any other interstate highway at 15 states and a small portion of the District of Columbia. According to the Corridor Coalition, I-95 serves 110 million people and facilitates 40% of the country's gross domestic product.
On This Day in Maine's History was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Marshall Communications. Happy birthday, Maine! The Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus is on a twice-a-week schedule on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On these 2 days, it will normally happen at about 2 o'clock each weekday afternoon. Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page will all bring it to you live. In addition, the briefings are archived at MainePublic.org for later on-demand viewing or listening. Just choose the television drop-down. Again, Maine's CDC briefing with Dr. Shaw and others is normally scheduled for Tuesdays and Thursdays each week, and carried here on Maine Public Radio, as well as Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're discussing the role of immigrants serving in local government in Maine. My guests are Deka Dalak, who serves on the South Portland City Council and works for the Maine Department of Education, and Tay Chong serves on the Portland City Council and works for Catholic Charities. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. You could send, if you're quick, a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Tay, what would you say to someone who is a new Mainer who's listening to this program and thinking about possibly running for office?
I think Maine is very welcoming. I think they have a great chance of being elected. You can see that just in Portland, Lewiston, and Westbrook areas. I think that's one. What's great about Maine is that Mainers give everyone a chance, and it really is. It comes down to how hard you work and how much you're willing to think about the community. And if you do that, you have a chance of being elected.
And what about you, Deka?
Oh yeah, 100%. I agree with Tay. Right now we have, I think, and I maybe could be wrong, but at least 12 immigrants in the state of Maine who are elected officials. And right now we also have four running, two for Portland Public Schools, one for Windham City Council, and one for Bangor City Council. So most of us really love the community that we live in because of the fact that we were welcomed open arms, you know, and made sure that we are living in a space that is inclusive. And those are the reasons for more immigrant folks that are stepping up and wanted to serve their communities. Again, I can repeat what I said earlier. We want to volunteer. We want to give back to our communities that are really welcomed us. So you can see now we have more than almost 20 people, if these four people elected in office. And I could be missing some other people, but I apologize if I have a smaller number than the people out there who are serving different cities and different towns in this great state of ours. So more to come, because we are really encouraging now the younger communities or the younger population. Now we have 20-year-olds that are born in Maine Med who are getting involved in politics and seeking the knowledge that some of us have when it comes to politics and asking, do I have a chance? Of course. Of course you have a chance. You can be who you want to be and serve the community that you live in.
And Tay, you see the immigrants in Maine as the future of Maine.
Yes, absolutely. You know, without immigrants moving to Maine, Maine would have had no population increase. We are the oldest state in the nation with the second lowest birth rate. And, you know, if you just look at the four big cities in southern Maine, the future workforce of Maine, a third of them in Lewiston, Portland, Westbrook, South Portland, are multicultural and mostly are immigrants. And immigrants also contribute to those two particular areas. According to Office of Economic Opportunity City Portland, they contribute $1.3 billion to the greater Portland area's economy and over $300 million to the Lewiston community. And if you just drive down some of the major thoroughfares in Portland and Lewiston, whether it's Lisbon Street or Forest Avenue or Washington or Congress, you can see dozens of immigrant-owned businesses that are contributing to our local economy. The other piece is that there are 10,000 multicultural students that attend our colleges and universities, and many of them are immigrants and refugee. And they are some of our best and brightest. And so you just, all you have to do is look at USM or SMCC college campuses, as well as CMCC. A lot of them are immigrant refugee students who are going on to college. And in fact, half of all the immigrants that live in Portland and Lewiston, whether they are kids in the public school system or adults taking classes, half of immigrants in those two particular towns are in some form of education. There are almost 3,000 immigrants taking classes at Portland Adult Ed and 1,000 taking classes at Lewiston Adult Ed. And all of them are trying to figure out how to improve their lives and build their skills. So I absolutely believe that immigrants are the future, not just for Maine, but also for the entire United States. The United States is becoming more and more multicultural. A third of the U.S. is now multicultural. By 2040, it will be half the country. And a lot of that multiculturalism is driven by immigrants moving to the United States. And in Boston alone, there are over a million foreign-born people living in the city of Boston. So immigrants are the future.
Deck, I want to ask you, you've talked about how wonderful your community is, and I can hear the pride in your voice. But I have to ask, have you encountered discrimination since you've become a city councilor in South Portland?
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, you will see those small noises that are in the background that does not reflect the community that you live in. And I've seen hateful emails that are coming to my inbox and phone calls, but I kind of ignore that because most of those people are not calling from our city here in South Portland or Westbrook. I'm sure they are calling from some other states because they cannot see someone who looks like me in a power seat. And I don't really mind any of those things. I've seen it. I looked at it. I go forward with that. And many of my friends and the colleagues that are really supporting me also say, how can you even, you know, tolerate that? I said, if I stuck myself in that space, I will not be doing the work that I was hired to do for the people of South Portland. So I ignore that. I've been spit on. I've been called the N-word. I've been called terrorist. It doesn't bother any of that. It doesn't bother me whatsoever because I am focused and I have a job to do. And that job is to provide all the services that I can for the city of South Portland.
Deck, it's incredible to me to hear you say that you don't let that bother you. Tay, is your attitude the same? Have you experienced what Deca has as well?
Oh, absolutely. We all have as people of color, but not as extreme as Deca, obviously. But, you know, growing up, I saw that all the time. And as a person of color, what we're really good at is being an observer because you have to figure out whether a room is safe or not for you. And you also build self-confidence and a thicker skin. And you just focus on the bigger picture just to move forward. And so that's one of the prices that you pay as a person of color. You have to turn down certain noises that would bother most people because we're still a minority in a very white state. And so for us, a lot of the community leaders, we just focus on getting results and helping as many people as possible because at the end of the day, that's what really matters. And personal insults are personal insults. I'd rather focus on helping someone that is in need.
And Tay, has any of that increased during the COVID crisis?
For me personally, no. It's all been on Zoom. So I would think that if we were out and about, it would be different. I am seeing more and more kind of the taunts and, the Archie Bunker type of comments that I used to see as a kid surface. And so, you know, that is new to this generation, but it's not new to me. I was used to those Trump-like comments back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, in kind of way. But now it's resurfaced and it's that old hate is now normalized. So it brings up triggers and traumas for you when you haven't seen it for about 20 years. But once it happens, you get used to it and you focus on other things.
We just have a couple minutes left, and I want to end by asking if either of you will seek higher office. Deca, when we were doing research for this program, we discovered that there were many people in Maine serving local office, but as far as I can tell, none in, for example, the Maine State Senate or in federal offices. Do you plan to run for something else someday?
Well, That's a good question. For my district, I have Victoria Morales, who's representing me at the state level and who is a good friend and also an emerged sister. And I don't want to even go there because she is doing an amazing work for all of us, not only for City of South Portland, but the whole state. And also what I do is I kind of help those who are running for offices. Right now, I am in the kitchen cabinet for Ann Kearney. She is the Democratic candidate for State Senate for all of Cape Elizabeth, all of South Portland, and some parts of Scarborough. If there is a chance for me to run a higher office, I will do it. But now I have good people representing me from the state senate as well as my district state representatives.
Okay, Tay, what about you?
I would love to run for a higher office, but it's not feasible for most people. It's not just for me, but for most people, because it's a part-time job, and I just don't have the means to say, you know, I can run for state senate or a representative. I wish we as a community had a different attitude towards people in government, see them as someone who is giving, providing good service rather than seen as a volunteer service. And what that does is it limits the number of people who could add good voices and perspectives to our governance. And unfortunately, the way it's set up, a lot of retirees end up running for higher office. And I think that's probably what will end up happening for me unless things change. I can see myself running for House of Representative or Senator, a state Senate, 10, 15 years down the road if I can pay off all the college bills and other things.
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, I've heard that criticism before that the way Maine's legislature is set up, it tends to be a lot of people who are retired and maybe young people who haven't established their career yet can get in there. But in this perspective that it also makes it more difficult for those who are part of the immigrant community because these are not people who are retired yet, just by the demographics of the community.
But I want to add to it, Sorry. Go ahead, Tay. No.
I was just going to say that's correct. And I think that's a missed opportunity not to have the voices that we mm-hmm. could have. Mm-hmm, and I think there's a disconnect between what's happening with the state and local level, because at the local level, you're seeing young people run for office and you're seeing diversity. And that voice and those policies differ from people who might be more conservative and older at the state level. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is trying to change GA and encourage people to use GA throughout the state of Maine. But there's a disconnect, in how small towns see that versus more progressive towns like Portland and Lewiston and other places like that.
Tay, that's going to have to be the last word. Sorry, DECA, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, both of you. DECA DeLac serves on the South Portland City Council and is Family Engagement and Cultural Responsiveness Specialist at the Maine Department of Education. And Tay Chong serves on the Portland City Council, who works for Catholic Charities as Director of Social Enterprise and Workforce Development. Dr. Nirav Shah will be on in a few minutes. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.